I either forfeit the miraculous in order to hold on to an offense, or I forfeit that offense so I can lay hold of a miracle. That's a pretty obvious choice, isn't it? Yet we never see that, and we hold on to offenses and wonder why the miraculous seems to be stymied in our churches and in our life. And God is saying, can't do it. Don't be offended. Refuse it. Don't be disheartened or crushed until you've accomplished what I've called you to accomplish.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Have you ever been offended? What if you had to choose between holding on to the offense or having God do the miraculous in your life? Which would you choose? Today, Pastor Wayne explains how important it is to lay down offense in order to take up the miraculous. Here he is with a message entitled, Offenses and the Miraculous.
Today we're going to talk about offenses or the miraculous. Please take out your notes with me. Every single one of us are going to go through this, and we need to know how to manage that and maybe sometimes eradicate and squash it, because it's more important than you'll ever realize to guard your heart from offense. I have a funny story of a preacher that had a big offense with his song leader in this very classic church, and the pastor was just mad, and so he tried to resolve it with his song leader, but the song leader was just so set in his ways. So the preacher thought, well, I'll just kind of do that subtly from the pulpit. So the next week, the preacher got up and spoke on the need to respect those in leadership and change your attitude. Well, the song leader got up and led the song, I Shall Not Be Moved. So the preacher said, all right. So the next Sunday, he got up and spoke on giving, how we should not be so selfish. The song leader got up and led the song, Jesus Paid It All. So the preacher was so offended even yet more. So the next Sunday, he got up and preached on gossip, how we should watch our tongues. So the song leader got up and led the song, I Love to Tell the Story. So that was it. The preacher was done. He was so offended. He got up the next Sunday and said the Lord was leading him to resign the church effective immediately. The song leader got up and led the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Offenses. Some years ago, I was sitting in a restaurant and a pastor, a young pastor, scooted in across from me in the booth and he said, you're Wayne Cordero. And I said, yes. He said, I've read a couple of your books. Do you have a new book? I said, no. Do you have a new magazine? I said, no. You have a new pamphlet, anything, a program. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, I just became pastor of this church and I don't know what to do. I said, well, how was the transition from the other pastor? He said, bad. It was bad. I said, what do you mean bad? He said, the pastor got up one Sunday and put his Bible on the podium and said, could the board member stand up? Board member stood up and he said and announced in this way, he said, it's because of these men that I'm leaving the church. He got his Bible and left. I said, no way. He said, yes way. I was sitting in the front row. So I said, well, how did you become pastor? He said, well, I was a youth pastor, and so I was up to bat. I was next. I said, well, how did the board feel about this resignation? They were offended. I said, and how did you feel about you becoming the next pastor? He said, I was offended. They didn't even ask me. I was voluntold. I said, well, how's the congregation? Bad, bad. He said, we only have about 50 people left. I said, well, here's what I'd suggest. You don't need a new book. You don't need a new magazine. You don't need a new pamphlet. You don't even need a new program. He said, well, what do I do? I said, you need to go to each individual and make sure relationships get repaired. Go through and forgive or ask for forgiveness, repent, ask people to again bring our hearts together before Calvary. And I would even suggest maybe you postpone your Sunday services until you get that done. And he looked at me like, who are you to tell me to stop my Sunday services? I said, oh, did I say I said that? Oh, sorry. Jesus said that. He said, where? I said, Matthew chapter 5. Let me quote it to you. If you go to the altar and before offering a gift at the altar, realize that a brother has an offense against you, leave your gift at the altar. First, go make it right and then come and offer your gift. Sorry, it wasn't me that said that. It was Jesus. Because you see, just the fact that you have Sunday services does not mean that people are not offended and there's fractures and brokenness within the congregation. It's not a Sunday service attendance that heals all. It is hearts that are willing to repent and be one. That's why the Bible says, be diligent to preserve the unity of the faith. Does that mean we won't make mistakes? No. But love covers a multitude of sins. I said, can you do that? He said, well, okay. And I'm glad to tell you that he did do that, and the church is still going today. And that church is in this city. So it's something that hits near home, doesn't it? All of these things about offenses. Well, today's lesson comes out of the book of Mark, chapter 6, where the lesson is told. Jesus went to heal Jairus' daughter, who was an official. On the way, if you recall, there was a lady with a hemorrhage of blood that reached out and touched the hem of his garment in the midst of a crowd. Remember that? She gets healed. He goes on his way and heals this daughter. Now, when it's done, he went to a synagogue maybe to give some testimony or to share in this church service. And it was there that people began to get offended. He stood up in the church and started speaking. And let's read what happens when people are turning to one another and goes, who is this guy? In fact, let's read it together. It's out of your notes and let's read it up here. Would you read it nice and loudly what the people said? Go. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took. And they what? They took. They were offended. They said, who is this? It's a carpenter. Yeah, that's the guy from Nazareth, right? Who does he think he is? The next line, would you continue with me? Go. And he could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled at their... They took offense at him. And he could do no great miracle. And he wondered or was amazed at their unbelief. Each of us will have dozens of opportunities to be offended, even in church service, even in church, even in ministry. And in fact, if you think about it, people were offended when he was speaking in church. So you know he's kind of taught this lesson is to church people. You'll get offended, at least have opportunities to be so, when you're passed over for a promotion, let's say. Or you weren't consulted. I need to be consulted about this. You circumvented me. Maybe you weren't invited. Or nobody called me on my birthday. The older you get, you don't want people to call you on your birthday. Well, I went to church and nobody greeted me. They just kind of walked past me. Can you believe that? You get cut out of some of your family's inheritance. Or someone who is a friend threw you under the bus when they should have stood by you. Occasions will abound where you and I can get offended. But I want you to see something with me in this part of the scripture. It says not he would not do any miracle. It says he what? He could not. Did you know that when we take offense, we are the ones that limit the miraculous, not God. He could do, what? He could do no miracle? No, he could do no great miracle. The Son of God, the creator of the universe? Yeah, because you see, the presence of the miraculous a lot of times will depend on us and our posturing our hearts in receptivity to that miracle. Otherwise, God will do a miracle and we'll just say, do another magic trick. Do something else. I mean, wow me some more. That wasn't enough. That's why the Bible says the wicked ask for another sign and another sign, but no sign will be given them except the sign of Jonah, who was 3 days in the belly of a whale and God raised him out. In other words, the only sign they're going to get is the fact that Jesus Christ died 3 days in the grave and was resurrected. If that's not enough. You'll just want another miracle, another magic trick, another something to get your wow going again. He could do no great miracle and was amazed at their unbelief. When I shoulder an offense, I limit the miraculous. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Did you know that when I am offended, it is an expression of my faith level? If I'm constantly offended, it's because I have no faith, or I have knowledge of faith. I have knowledge of church stuff. But bottom line, distill it all down, I don't have much faith. In fact, Jesus said he was amazed at their what? Unbelief. If God is to be amazed at anything about us here at New Hope, I want God to be amazed at our faith, not our unbelief. Can you say amen to that? I want heaven to go, whoa, their faith amazes me. This is amazing. Just like the centurion who said, when the Lord said, I'll come and heal your servant, he said, Lord, I'm unworthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority. I say to one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. And Jesus said, whoa, I have not seen this kind of faith. No, not in all of Israel. I want God to be amazed at our faith. But one of the ways is to refuse to be offended, because when I shoulder offense, I limit the miraculous. Now, here's a question. How many of you need or can use a couple more miracles in your life at this point? Yeah, you can still use a couple of miracles, any of you? Yeah, so do I. And because I need to receive some miracles in my life, I need to make sure that I guard my heart from offense. I refuse to. I just can't. Why? Because I need some miracles. And if I shoulder an offense, they stop. He can do no great miracle. And he'll wonder at my unbelief. I don't know about you, but I need several miracles yet in my life. Health-wise, otherwise, ministry-wise, so many other things. My children, they get their act together. You know, all these miracles, you know, I'm just joking. They're doing great. But I need so many more miracles that I just refuse to be offended. So you say, well, Wayne, what do we do? Let me give you a better question to ask. What did Jesus do? Because you see, Jesus had many more occasions to be offended than you or I will ever have. What did Jesus do? Jesus had so many opportunities. Think about it. When he was born, the hotel pushed him out, pushed his mother out into the cold when she was just about to give birth. Then Herod tries to kill him. And all the time growing up, he's bullied by his friends by saying that he must be an illegitimate kid because we know his mother, but we don't know his father. Because even Joseph denies anything having to do with him. Can you believe that? A father like Joseph just refuses to identify with his own kid? Well, maybe he's not the father. And then your mother is a kook. She says that the father's God. Like, she's weird. And then demons start to chase him. Not only that, for a while in his life, he's homeless. He says, foxes have their holes and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of God has no place to lay his head and rest. Men despised him. Religious leaders hated him. He had to endure falsified reports, trumped up trials, deceitful testimony, and then a fake court trial, and then he's murdered by torture. You think Jesus had more occasions to be offended than you or I will ever have? Think about it. So what was his posture? What was his heart? It was prophesied by Isaiah the prophet 700 years before. This is what he's going to say about Jesus, because he knew that Jesus was about to be offended a ton. Here's what he says. Read it on the screen, would you? This is what he says. Go. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice on the earth. It says, no, he's going to have a lot of occasions to be offended, but he will not be disheartened. He will not be, not, he won't have occasion to be disheartened. It doesn't say he won't have occasion to be crushed, it says he will not be disheartened no matter what. He will not be crushed no matter what. Why? Because he has to establish something on the earth. And if he gets offended, that won't ever happen. Because it's going to require a miracle. That's why from the cross, can you remember this? He's hanging from the cross and being tortured, being jeered by the crowds, questioned by those being crucified with him on either side. And he looks around and he says this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I thought, holy Toledo. When you have every right to be offended, he's forgiving. Why? Because he had an assignment to fulfill that would require a miracle, and he would not forfeit that. That's why Isaiah said he won't be disheartened. Yeah, but will he have occasion to be? Oh, yeah, yeah, but he won't be. And he won't be crushed. Well, there'll be people crushing him. He won't be crushed. Why? Because he's got to establish the justice of God on the earth. That's going to require a divine miracle. And he knows that. You see, you and I have a choice. We can shoulder an offense and forfeit a miracle, or we can forfeit that offense in order to lay hold of a miracle. And I'm going to choose that. I just can't be. Can't be. Sorry. Sorry. If you try to offend me, sorry. Good try. It ain't going to happen. Why? Because I need a few more miracles in my life still. If I don't need any more, great. I'll take offense. But I need a ton of miracles. How many of you still need some miracles in your life? Yeah. You understand? So we have to make a choice. And Jesus lays this out for us in Mark chapter 6. Paul the apostle follows Jesus' example. Because a lot of times I watch the Apostle Paul's life. You heard the teachings of Jesus. Let's see how you live it out. The Son of God maybe has divine strength. What about you, man of man? And Paul the Apostle says this. I love this. He's getting falsified trials, trumped up trials against him, false testimony. Even his own brethren back off from him. And then he says this, would you read it? Go. At my first defense, how many? No one supported me, but all deserted me. Now stop there for a second. All deserted me. They all ran away, those punks, those idiots. See if I talk to them again. Now watch this. No, his response? Read the next line. May it not be held against them. Wait a minute. Why did you come to that conclusion? The very next sentence will tell you why. Continue, go. So that through me, the proclamation of the gospel might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles may hear. You see, he had an assignment to fulfill. And he said, may it not be held against him. Yeah, but they deserted you. Not even once did... It's okay. It's I cannot take offense. I can't shoulder an offense. Why? Because God wants to, through me, proclaim the gospel, and all the Gentiles will hear. I will not forfeit that because of these people. Do you understand what he's saying? I either forfeit the miraculous in order to hold on to an offense, or I forfeit that offense so I can lay hold of a miracle. That's a pretty obvious choice, isn't it? Yet we never see that. And we hold on to offenses and wonder why the miraculous seems to be stymied in our churches and in our life. And God is saying, can't do it. Don't be offended. Refuse it. Don't be disheartened or crushed until you've accomplished what I've called you to accomplish. Now, let me take a gear change. Are you ready? If shouldering an offense isn't bad enough, here's something worse. Are you ready? It's shouldering another person's offense.
Hey, Pastor Wayne, hold that thought. That's where we'll have to leave off for today. But we'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, here is a sneak peek at what is in store for tomorrow.
But let's be people who refuse to be offended, because we'll either choose offense or choose the miraculous. How many of you would choose the miraculous? Amen. Amen.
Today's message was entitled Offenses and the Miraculous by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.
We have a future. Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a church, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. We'll see you there.